Hey friends, it's Melvin. Thanks for tuning into this episode. Here's just a few quick things I wanted to notify you guys about before we get started. First up, very soon, new episodes will be releasing Wednesday mornings rather than Tuesday. So don't panic if you don't see a new episode on Tuesday. Just wait a little longer and you'll see it in your feed. Second, we've introduced a mailbag. Check those show notes and toward the bottom you'll see a mailbag link. You'll then be able to text us any questions you might have about movies, the movie industry, or any movie/Christian related questions you might have. Then we'll respond in a future episode, so send us your questions now. Up next, Patreon polls, which are available to Patreon supporters at the $3 tier or higher, have been updated. Supporters can now suggest films or shows to be reviewed at the end of each month. The two most liked submissions will become the options for the Patreon poll. So if you want to hear us talk about your favorite movie or show, join our Patreon and start campaigning. And lastly, whether you're a new or longtime listener, please consider writing a review or rating the Cinematic Doctrine podcast on iTunes and Spotify. Apart from financially supporting on Patreon, these are the two most helpful ways to support the show. And that's it. Enjoy the episode. You're listening to Cinematic Doctrine. So if you just press play, you are missing out on 39 minutes of me and Sherlian. Sherlian, join me again. Hi, Sherlian.
Hey.
The two of us were talking about basically our watching habits with when it comes to movies, which I think is just interesting because the two of us are so different in our preferences and our connections. But they're also, I think, very genuine in the way we answered. So in short, we discussed the header on my notes sheet was what are our watching habits and what do they say about us? And then there were 3 points. It was, what do we prefer? What do I prefer? What do I connect with? And then what do I avoid? And then the two of us answered them going back and forth, which garnered some really interesting discussion regarding several types of movies and the way in which, like, you can kind of, I didn't mention this, but like there are certain things you might connect with, and then you'll realize it's not even a matter of what genre you enjoy. These topics are discussed or explored in horror and comedy and drama and thrillers and all over. So you get to, there's just so much more instead of just exploring genre, but learning about what connects with you or what you mm-hmm. prefer. And then also we discuss some things that we avoid, which I think is also interesting because everyone kind of lands differently, but almost always agrees that just offensiveness is wrong. So that was really good. So support on Patreon for $3 a month. That's the minimum. You can, of course, support for more. We'd love it if you do.
Do it.
And when you do that, you get access to a whole bunch of other perks you're going to hear about. But specifically here, you'd be getting an additional 40 minutes of content where we're talking about this particular thing. Other episodes also have a lot of bonus content too. So if you support for $3, all of that immediately becomes accessible to you for at least a month if you choose to continue to support, which would be great. You're going to keep up with all new stuff and also get to do a lot of other things. Again, you'll hear about those more specifically as we continue. So if you press play, of course, you know that we're going to be talking about Haunted Mansion because this is a Haunted Mansion month. Mm-hmm. But this Haunted Mansion is different.
It's not what you think.
I did take some funny notes that, well, they're just funny. We'll get into it.
But yes, I cannot wait.
As I was looking up the information for the Haunted Mansion 2023, which was on Disney Plus, I had also learned that there was a Haunted Mansion 2015, which is, of course, why I made the distinction between 2023 on the episode title. The Haunted Mansion 2015 is not related to or in any way connected to Disney or Disney's The Haunted Mansion ride.
Nope.
It is just a movie that probably was just simply translated to Haunted Mansion. In fact, I did see a trivia thing on IMDb, which, as we all know, the trivia on IMDb is completely reliable.
Hey, I take it as gospel truth.
It says the script for the film originally was entitled Rest House, which could also make sense too. Regardless, Haunted Mansion. And for the gag, that is, we talked about Haunted Mansion on the podcast. We are going to talk about this other movie that has nothing to do with the other two Haunted Mansions, other than the name.
It just shares a title.
I'll give some very, very minor background because, well, first let me say the format of this episode. The format is going to be Party Pleaser. You saw that with the thumbnail. Party Pleaser episodes, we summarize the entire movie. So I took the summary, so I will be reading to you the plot line of this film. So if you haven't seen it, it's only like a $2 rental on Amazon. You can't find it anywhere else, actually. So Party Pleasers, we're going to summarize the episode, summarize the whole film. I will be doing the summary. You'll be able to hear the whole film from beginning to end. We're going to commentate and share thoughts throughout it. It's a really easy way for us to remember thoughts we had while watching the movie, and also for you as a listener to keep up with us, even if you hadn't seen the movie. Maybe you just wanted to hear our Haunted Mansion trilogy of episodes. And so you get to just go into this blind. You don't have to do the rental. You don't have to do anything like that. The other benefit to that, too, is you don't have to watch the movie. At the end of the episode, we will decide if it's a party pleaser or a party pooper. We'll decide individually, like, how we feel about it. Really, we define those two things in any way we really feel we want to at the time, so it can change at any minute. But I've been talking your ear off, and we've been talking a lot, and we have not gotten into the movie. So why don't we just go ahead and get into this movie? So, Haunted Mansion 2015. Again, no relation or correlation to the Disney property. The movie starts, as all movies do, although it doesn't start like all movies do. A child...
You have to press play.
Yes,
to start
you have to press play. You have to then realize it's not in English and put on the subtitles, which is exactly what happened to me.
Yep.
But then I got confused because I kept thinking it. I thought it was in English, and then it wasn't in English. We'll get into that when characters start talking. So the beginning of the film is a child misses their bus. It seems like a... it's not their mother. The kid is saying ma'am.
Okay. It sounded
like mom. It sounds like mom. But this woman who's supposed to be the chaperone for this child steps off screen, and the child misses the bus. Then the child goes to look for the woman. He steps into this room. It's kind of a creepy looking room because it's all decrepit. Things are kind of fallen over. Things seem a little destroyed.
Really quick. I don't know if you got this feel, and it was mostly at the beginning, but as when the lady leaves and the kid is watching the bus go away, did you feel like we were about to zoom out and start like actually playing a video game of this kid and like going in and like
it
exploring?
Was framed
it
like
was,
a
I
third
was like,
person
this
game.
This is weird.
Like the start of a
and there were a couple of scenes right there in the prologue that had that, and I was like, this is weird. I liked it. I didn't hate it.
Like Resident
Evil. I've been watching so many of these like playthroughs that are exactly that. And I'm like, did I get the wrong movie?
You rented a video game. We're going to cover a video game on here. The kid heads into this room. It seems to be some sort of giant mansion. There's a very scary statue in there. He finds blood on the floor, actually finds blood beneath the statue. So he's curious and confused. He has not found where this woman is. So yeah, this kid follows the specter into a room, and there's just like somebody laying on a couch or on like a, it looked like a corpse was laying on, wasn't like a coffin.
That?
I'm not really quite sure.
That never came back.
If this is sounding like a mess, let me start by saying this. When the movie starts, it is very low resolution. When the movie starts,
okay,
it
so
is
it wasn't
stuttering
just
quality. For some reason, the quality of the video uploaded to Amazon Prime was super low. And not just low, but like almost like broken with the stuttering. I think there was even a point, it was either in this movie or maybe it was another movie I was watching. I can't remember when. But it like jumped forward, but then it turns out I didn't miss anything, so I was fine. So I really had difficulty figuring out what my notes should say at the time, because I had difficulty knowing it was on screen.
Yeah.
That does not continue, because at some point the film becomes more dialogue heavy. I'm just describing a non-dialogue scene. A kid sees a specter and it goes into this room. So he walks into the room and there's a corpse laying on like a coffin or something, but the corpse jump scares him and wakes up. The kid runs out and he's chased by some spectral wizard. He gets away, but he looks back and the wizard manifests some sort of molten monster. And then it vanishes. The kid finds the woman has died on the floor. Her body appeared out of the air. He screams, opening credits and title. The title, Haunted Mansion, hence the entire reason we are doing this. I think I remember telling you we were going to do this, and you just like went, oh my gosh. You're like, why would
you? I don't know. I was like, okay, why not? As
so
long.
Funny.
And I should have put this in the stipulation of our contract, which doesn't actually exist. As long as I come back for Haunted Mansion Muppets version, then we're good to go.
We'll have to find a time to do that, but I think that could be really cool. Just like a bonus
episode. Give the people
episode.
What they want. They
yeah,
need
Muppets.
All the Haunted Mansions.
Is this going to be a new a series where I just find movies called Haunted Mansion? There is one called The
okay,
Real Haunted Mansion 2. And I don't know what that's a sequel to, but
it was
anyways.
On Amazon. I saw that too.
So the movie begins. I did the same thing as I did last time. I have headers in the description. So "we begin with" is the header. Some students are discussing an urban legend, including the scene we just watched. It is two girls and one boy who we'll later learn are named Ella, Faye, and Adrian. Ella is the lead. Faye is the kind of spry
best friend.
And then Adrian is, well, we'll get into Adrian. He's very Adrian. Funny to me. Then there's a discussion of a potential retreat, as in like a trip over the weekend. School runs late and one of the girls leaves to go find her phone. This is before I knew their names. I think that was Faye, I guess.
Yeah, because the same. Yeah. I was like, who's who?
Yeah, so school runs late, and Faye realizes they've left their phone somewhere, so they're going to run off. And so Ella is left in the hall getting her stuff out of the locker, and the lights in the hallway start to flicker. As the lights are flickering, Ella hears a chuckle and a laugh. It causes her to flinch with fear. The laugh is getting closer, and then it starts to turn into a cry. Ella covers her ears as a voice says, "How long will you ignore me? You've already seen me before." When Ella shuts the locker, there is this figure of a standing dead girl with a hole in her face. Ella freaks out and screams. The ghost ends up vanishing. Some cheerleaders come out of a classroom and they ask Ella what's wrong, but they're not asking in a kind way. They kind of tease her about it. They're going to be our titular bullies for the rest of the film.
Oh my gosh, I had that exact phrase stuck in my head and I was going to say it.
Titular bullies.
But you said it before I did. We are related.
Yeah, I was just
going to
say we were related. It's like we finish each other's sandwiches. Yes. it works. Hey, don't forget, there's a lot of fun content missing from this episode because you're not listening on Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/cinematicdoctrine and support for $3 a month to gain access to uncut episodes with upwards of 40 minutes of bonus content each. You'll thank me later. So anyways, the ghost ends up vanishing. The kids, the bullies bully her. They leave. That night, the same girl, Ella, she has a heart-to-heart with her siblings, thinking about their past father. She then is privately resting with her mother, and she shares that she's worried that somehow the parents will find out about how their father died and how she was involved.
Kids will find out. You said
yes, the kids. That's right. They find out that the kids will find out how their father had died, but the mother consoles her and says it's not your fault. So we're getting some backstory, knowing that like Ella might somehow be involved in the fact that their father isn't around anymore, mm-hmm. but we'll have to see. So far, what we've learned, Ella can see ghosts. It doesn't seem like anyone else can do that too. And then has this mysterious backstory. The next day, one of the girls, Ella, receives a gift from a classmate. The note reads, "You're cute" on the gift. We see that Adrian is seeing that the gift was passed to her, and Adrian looks jealous. That was the first time I reacted to Adrian and went, "Oh no, is he going to be this kind of character where he has feelings for someone?"
I like Adrian. Like, come on, Team Jacob or Team Adrian?
I know. Okay, we had the same thought. We'll be getting into that. and it basically begins now. So Faye encourages Ella to go thank Jacob. Jacob is the one who on the note that says "you're cute," Jacob was signed on there. Faye encourages Ella to go to Jacob and go in person to thank him for the chocolates and a note. Adrian is right behind them trying to stop Ella. Yeah, he tries really hard and quote, not actually that hard. Tries really hard to not get Ella to go talk to Jacob. Ella, though, walks on over to thank Jacob, but Jacob then doesn't understand what's going on. It turns out actually that the bullies had given the chocolates to somebody else to then give them to Jacob, to then have Jacob give them to Ella, to prank Ella into thinking Jacob was giving her treats. So Ella gets frustrated and throws the box at Jacob.
As she should.
She storms off. Jacob, of course, apologized and he was not happy with this. And the bullies were in the area to make fun of them. Jacob verbally chastises the bullies, which, by the way, the one's named Megan. The other two I didn't quite get. I think I did later.
Allison
in the film.
And Jesse.
Okay.
Allison and Jesse. Yeah.
Ella storms off and gives the chocolates to Jacob, like smacks them into his chest.
Yeah.
the chocolates then fall out of his hand, and when they fall, they open and turns out there's cockroaches inside.
I thought he gave it to his friend, and then his friend is like, all right, I'll have some chocolates, and then, yeah, cockroaches everywhere.
Essentially.
I don't know what they're saying. She looks weird. She looks fine.
Yeah.
Ella is totally normal, totally fine. Everyone's gorgeous in this movie, but if I had to pick, like,
She doesn't even dress, like, awkwardly. She doesn't have any preppy.
There's nothing weird.
There's not even Stargirl or Disney Stargirl equivalent.
She's
just
normal.
Like, normal. There's really no reason why they're bullying her.
Right? They're just jealous because she's gorgeous.
It's very odd.
It is very weird, but we gotta have bullies.
So Adrian feels urged to write his own note, and it says, I really like you on it, as well as has his name on it.
Yeah.
I like that these people are very forward. Adrian attempts to give the note to Ella, and he slips it into her backpack discreetly so she doesn't know it's there, but it is
Shy
there.
Boy.
Jacob now arrives to apologize to Ella for the incidental involvement.
I wish I counted how many times he apologized, because I'm sorry.
He does apologize a lot.
But it got annoying.
It's
like,
basically
dude.
Throughout the whole film.
If she accepted it, let it go.
It's endearing. Jacob arrives to apologize for being involved in the whole thing, even though he wasn't really a part of it. Adrian feels threatened by him and confronts him. Ella and Faye leave in frustration as these two boys just basically screw around.
Faye's like, oh my gosh, you have two boys fighting over you.
yeah. That night and the bus on the retreat. That is the header. So mm-hmm. Ella cooks dinner for her family, just sort of setting the stage. Ella learns from her mother that they can afford for Ella to go on the school retreat. Ella plays coy about her feelings about the day and maybe not even wanting to go on the retreat. Ella then confronts the bullies as they're about to head off on the trip because the bullies were teasing her family. We're seeing that Ella will consistently choose the right decision, which is kind of fun.
She's not playing, like, if I can say, she's not really playing the typical victim of a bully.
No,
and
she
I
isn't
kind of
shy.
Like that. I like the fact that, like, it hurts her. She doesn't like it, and she does cower a little bit. But when push comes to shove, she's like, "No, you can say whatever you want to me, but don't you dare say anything about my family." And then I do like that she's like, "I don't look weird. When I look in the mirror, I look fine. But I don't know about you."
Got him.
And I was like, yeah, that was great.
I mean, I was thinking, like, the contrast to, like, a more Western written character like this would be a lot more of a pushover, would probably be a lot more self-deprecating. That isn't to say that Ella isn't a conflicted character. We'll get there later.
She definitely is.
She, as a character, has a lot more resolve than Western equivalents. The only other thing I was going to mention, which is a bit of a sidebar, but I did mention that we would talk about it. And at this point in the movie, we're about 20 minutes in. Mm-hmm. So we'd mentioned that, like, there was some confusion about whether or not this was an American movie or a Filipino movie. It is a Filipino movie. The reason there was confusion is because they will slip in and out of speaking in Filipino and then speaking in English. I did look up to try to see if it was Tagalog or not. I think my wife said that it was Filipino. So if it is Tagalog, please forgive me, whoever's listening. I am not cultured in the different languages out there. But I am familiar with having some online friends who are from the Philippines, and they were very fluent in English. So my assumption, my uneducated assumption, is just that it's probably just a matter of maybe supplemental language, because I know that just from what I've, from osmosis of watching a lot of anime for basically 15 years, the language is very, in Japanese, the language is stupendously efficient, and a lot of, like, phrases are utilized to express very different things based on expression, facial expression, or body language. Some movies, I'll watch them in Japanese, and they'll say the same words, but the subtitles are completely different because of context. And so you could see how, if you were speaking with more than one language, you could have a whole new way of expression being open to you. So I was curious if that might be the case. If you are listening and you are familiar, just to keep my thoughts short, because I'm I'm guessing here.
Yeah.
Please respond, reach out on Instagram or Threads. I would really love to know, because it's super interesting to me. Because you said it too. You were like, they just go, like, within the same conversation,
the same sentence. It's like half Filipino rather, and then English or vice versa.
It's awesome, honestly.
It's super cool. It definitely took a little bit of getting used to at first. Yeah. And then just like any movie or TV show you watch with subtitles, you like it just blends together and it's like whatever.
Just imagine how much more you could communicate when you can use more than one language. Like to me, that just seems so useful.
Bilingual. I also wonder, and I forgive me if this is something you already said, but I wonder too, because we talked about this before we started recording, of like, for me, I wonder if a lot of the English going back was done to emphasize a certain point. Like a lot of times the bullies are speaking a few lines in English. And is that an emphasis to make it more mean? Not because Ella can't understand English, but just like how like we use italics when we want to like say something specific or bold when we're typing something out. Is English like the bold version kind of idea? And I would be very curious to know about that too. Like the idea of, I know sometimes it's like they just don't have the word in their language for this particular English word, but that's usually a single word, not like a whole sentence.
Yeah. It wasn't even just phrases that were being used. It was like sentences.
Yeah.
It was very interesting. Full grammar.
Stuff. Yeah.
Full grammar. Ella confronted the bullies. So they end up getting up on the bus. I think I actually wrote down every time they apologized, so this would be the second time. Although it is a little funny first how this happened. So Ella sits down on the bus. Adrian then really wants to go and sit next to Ella, but then someone behind him goes, excuse me, because they were trying to get a seat. It turns out it's Jacob. And Adrian sort of goes to the side, and Adrian goes right down the hall of the bus and sits right next to Ella. And then Adrian stands there like a dope. And it just looks so funny. Adrian ends up sitting a bit apart from Ella. So
only a
not right
seat
next
away.
Yeah,
which
what
I found
a bummer.
This whole scene a little interesting with
the scene was funny.
Conversing going on.
So you probably saw the same thing I did too. So basically in this conversation, first Jacob apologizes again to just say like, really, I'm so sorry. I'm also sorry that I think he mentions maybe the scuffle with Adrian. It wasn't much of a fight. It was just a shoving match.
Yeah.
Ella sets a boundary of saying like, I think we just shouldn't be friends or just avoid each other. We also learn that Jacob and Megan, they may have had, that's the queen of the bullies.
Yeah.
They may have had a thing, in the past, like they were dating or something possibly, but also Megan is one seat behind Ella and hearing the entire conversation,
which I thought was very interesting.
And the conversation is the kind you would have if that person wasn't there.
But I think, this is what I thought was very interesting. I think they were fully aware that she was sitting behind because they kept looking. Faye, full on turned around and looked at her.
Yeah.
And then, Ella did a couple times, too.
Dope.
So, I think they were fully aware of what they were doing and the conversation they were having.
That makes it so much better.
Yes. It was definitely very weird.
That's
and a conversation probably better to have. And yet, I feel like, in a way, they were still, respectful. Like, they weren't necessarily being mean. Like, Ella is like, look, I think we should be friends because, I don't want to antagonize Megan anymore to, bother me because I don't like it. Plus, you had something with her. And then
she didn't even have her AirPods in.
Right. And then Jacob's like, no, I courted her. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, it just was really interesting. I was like, yeah, because I was like, this is so weird. Like, she's literally right there. Like, usually she would be further back and then she'd be like, what are they talking about?
Yeah.
She's hearing the whole thing.
But it's like, no, she's in frame. We're getting her expressions.
Yeah.
It's so odd. But basically all we learn on the bus drive is that Adrian is super interested in Ella. We also learn that Megan is the worst. And then Jacob is a bit of a dork with some magic tricks. That's basically it.
Yeah. This is where I definitely really didn't like Megan. And I wish I wrote some of this stuff down, but she was not kind.
Oh, she's such a bully.
She not nice. I'm just playing hard to get.
So Ella finds Adrian's note in the backpack. And Ella looks directly at Adrian, who then smiles because he saw that she got the note.
Were you expecting him to grab it out of her hand? Because I was
definitely expecting something. Or even Ella to not, even for Ella to maybe doubt the note's legitimacy because the chocolates. But that doesn't happen.
Yeah. But they're friends. So maybe she recognized his handwriting as
possible
real. I don't know.
But And more or less, the film confirms that the two are aware of the interaction. You may not know this, but the easiest way you can show your support for Cinematic Doctrine is to rate and review the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen. So press pause and share your thoughts. We'd love to hear what you have to say. And then press play again so you can hear the rest of the show. The next header, the almost accident and the arrival at the Haunted Mansion.
I laughed at that.
Yeah, this was weird. So
this was weird. And I think I know why they did it.
The bus nearly crashes for basically no reason. It's basically just says the bus is driving. A biker gets a little too close to the bus.
And the bus like,
driver just sort of swerves.
Into a fruit stand or a vegetable stand where the people proceed to throw veggies at the bus, which, you know, I would too.
They're throwing trash and vegetables at it. But then a newspaper gets stuck on the windshield to basically allude to a murder that happened in the place they're going.
Which is the whole reason why they probably did the accident was so get that newspaper right
which is
there.
Stupid which because is the so beginning annoying. Of the movie already told us
right
why is this movie an hour and 40 minutes you could take
and
this like, scene out.
And no one noticed the newspaper
nobody and noticed the newspaper
what I would have preferred is maybe
no
like
scene.
the like the adults on the bus or whatever like the chaperone at the front is like reading through the newspaper and like turns to her colleague like oh my gosh there was a murder and like then you kind of know that the characters in the movie now know that there was a murder at this place. Because yes, we already know, but the characters don't know that. But it should have introduced it to the characters.
Right. And since it didn't, it should have been cut.
Exactly. But yeah, I laughed at that whole thing.
Very stupid scene. So they arrive at the mansion and some students outright just say, it looks like a haunted mansion, which I thought was really funny.
Yes.
It's just to describe the mansion's design, because we've done this with all the movies. Mm-hmm. It's more like it kind of has a compound look where it's like, it looks like it's two buildings connected with a second floor bridge that has a really interesting design. It seems like there's a foyer and a garden.
It's very beautiful.
It's very beautiful. There's like it looks like a wraparound second floor patio that is not wood. It's like made of cement. Mm-hmm. There are like open air locations that are open air rooms that are really pretty. Cause the location is like the Philippines are like on the equator. I was looking this up cause I was curious what the environment and like knowing like what temperature like it would be. And, it would be hot. And, the flora and fauna is just really pretty, but point is it's hot. So the aesthetic of this particular mansion in contrast to Haunted Mansion 2003 and Haunted Mansion 2023 is, let's call it more. No, there's no air conditioning, but it's like air proficient. It's probably a building with open air spaces for flow.
Yeah.
Giant windows that open up. It's
huge.
Really pretty.
They were gorgeous. I want to make a quick comparison. That if 2003 does in fact take place in New Orleans, which you might be able to pick up from the bayou, New Orleans is very hot. Never been there, but I know it's very hot. And then obviously 2023 takes place in a very hot location, New
Orleans.
Is
every haunted mansion on
the Philippines also very hot? But also, and I like when they were pulling up, I specifically wanted to make sure I got a good look at the house because I was very curious if it was going
to
be of similar design.
To one
the
other,
even though they're not related in any way to each
I
other.
Get it though. Yeah,
but the house does have a very similar plantation house look. And I did not look up anything about the Philippines, so I do not know the history. There may have been plantations there, and like plantation isn't necessarily a bad word because here in America they were always run and worked by
slaves. Yeah.
A plantation is just a very large farm.
But this is an old building though.
This is
so
an
it does
old
follow
building.
That aesthetic. Yeah.
It does follow the aesthetic. There's like big gardens all the way around that we see in some flashbacks. But then like it is a very square building on both sides connected by this like sky bridge. And I just thought that was a very interesting connection if we want to make any type of similarities to the other movies of like it's a very similar looking house.
And then
which
also,
I have to say, I wasn't totally expecting. It was just kind of a nice surprise.
Well, let's think about the last two, right? The last two don't have real buildings at all. The 2003 one has some real sets, which are beautiful. And then maybe like three sets in the 2023 one and mostly digital hallways. But neither of them are actual real houses. Mm-hmm. Both exterior shots are a combination of set and CG, with mostly the wide shots of the house being CG. This one is actually a real location. So it's pretty neat. But yeah, the aesthetic is less tight as the other two homes are. But I think that gives a good perspective.
It allows everything to breathe really well.
Yeah, it's just a nice looking... It's a nice looking environment to be stuck in for the next hour and a half. So, so it's a stormy night when all of our characters arrive at the Haunted Mansion. We are now inside and the foyer looks like a clean version of the opening scare. So we're like, okay, it's the same place. Mm-hmm. There's a giant portrait of a woman who used to own the property. We're talking massive, like two times the height of a man. It's a really cool kind of like classic aesthetic to do with your old home. The woman previously owned the mansion and then died long ago. If there was ever a part of the film that reminded me of the other Haunted Mansion movies, I just wrote it down in all caps. So here I went, chandelier, there's a chandelier in the Haunted Mansion. And they really focused to show it to you.
Yeah.
It's, there's a stairwell that leads up, from the foyer into what I just sort of called like the stairway landing, but the chandelier is hanging there and it's just massive. It's pretty cool. And then we head into another room as they're heading into this room that's more like a cafeteria and they're going to break off. We learn that there's a couple set of rules while they're on this retreat. Basically, four students to a bedroom, no purpling. In other words, no boys and girls in the same bedroom.
Oh, man, I have not heard that phrase in so long.
Sometimes I just have to write my notes quick. I mean, I'm allowed to purple now, so it's fine.
Me too.
I never think about it. But there's no going into rooms that you're not assigned to. You have to be quiet or really just be respectful of noise.
Yeah.
And then no stealing because we're not in our own property. The environment, I just took notes saying there's a foyer location. There's the stairwell landing and the stairwell itself. There's this large cafeteria location. There are going to be some exteriors. We'll get there in a minute. I'll read my note verbatim, and then I'll clarify that both Charlianne and I had the exact same response to this. I didn't know if it was a possible mistranslation, but basically a student asked, "Teacher, is it true that there's a black woman here?" And then I said, "I'm assuming that the original Filipino word for black woman is not actually like representative of black women, but a particular name for a ghost type in their history or lore." I did not look it up because I couldn't tell word they were translating at the time. Were you able to find it? Or
yeah, so I just ended up Googling like the Filipino lore ghost black lady, because I hit on that too. I was like, what?
Yeah, the phrasing is shocking because you feel like it's a racist exclamation.
The phrasing was very weird, and I didn't read too far into it because I think I was it's been kind of hard to like find, because then like other stuff, like I think a YouTube video did come up of like a Filipino woman being offended by like a black lady, and I was like, that's definitely not what I'm looking for. So like I think yeah, it might, yeah, it. I was like, that is not it. I think I'd honestly have to go like even deeper and use my like master's library of science archival skills to get.
Well, in short, it's a cryptid. It's a
ghost. It's a woman who is a ghost
who wears black
mourning clothes.
Yes.
Whether I do not know what the Filipino word is for it that is like loosely translated or even mistranslated into black lady. But that is what they refer to her in the entire movie, is black lady. So
yeah,
we like to clarify that.
Because it was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Enjoying this episode? Grab that share link and tell your friends. Word of mouth is the most effective way for a podcast to reach new listeners, so don't be shy. Share the episode wherever you can. Yeah, so one of the chaperones responds to the student asking the question about, "What is there this ghost here in the mansion?" And the chaperone says when they were a kid and they stayed here that someone had tried to communicate with spirits, and the next morning they had a nightmare so bad that they died. And he says, "I don't know what to believe, but just be careful." So the first night happens and there's teachers. The teachers end up taking everybody's phone. They're not going to be allowed to use their phones in this retreat. Megan ends up telling her friends that she has an extra phone that she keeps hidden. So she'll be just fine. Ella has a nightmare that night and she watches as a woman hang herself outside her window. She's shocked awake by the image. And in doing so, she wakes up and there's actually a ghost in the room with her. Ella ends up following the ghost and the woman is wearing all black funeral clothing, some mourning clothing. And so Ella is now in the middle of the night following this ghostly figure walk through the locations, and we find a chapel location is in the mansion. It then phases through a door that's actually a confessional. As it phases through the door, Ella ends up getting closer and closer to the confessional until two students fall out. Turns out they were getting frisky. The haunting seems to end. They were purpling. They weren't supposed to. One of them, I think, was actually one of the bully girls, too. So we just see that there's some interaction there. Yeah. The night ends. We get to the next day because the haunting had ended. So they all just went to bed anyway. The next day and activities. Ella and Faye overhear more lore, as they wrote. The ghost woman may have been a deceased woman who was also sexually assaulted. I get it. I was like, why would Adrian scalp anybody? That's not what this movie was. I said, Adrian scalps Jacob's seat away from him, as if to say he's giving it to somebody else. It's just funny because...
Hey, man, come sit here.
Yeah, like, it was so... Adrian, to me, I could not... I kept laughing the whole time Adrian did anything in the movie. It's so...
I definitely did, too.
Yeah, it was so funny to me to basically watch this guy... rather than just be forward, find ways to prevent this other guy who is being forward. To me, it was so funny. So the scene is basically Ella, Faye, and Adrian are all sitting together, and there's a seat right next to Ella that's open. Jacob's clearly gunning for it. And then right when Adrian sees that that's going
to
happen...
he wants to go say sorry again.
Yeah, he's basically going to say sorry again. I don't know
why.
This is
annoying. The third or fourth time.
Adrian then points at a random student and goes, hey, I have a seat for you.
And we never see that kid again.
Yeah, that kid makes it to the credits. That's how right. lucky he is.
I find what Adrian is doing is endearing. I definitely agree. He needs to be more forward and actually say something. But I find that more endearing than the constant, I just want to say I'm sorry.
Yeah, man, Jacob needs to grow up.
The face that Ella is giving you... is please stop apologizing.
Yes.
Read the face.
But yeah, Jacob ends up going back to his seat defeated. So the first activity is spread out among the mansion and spend 1 hour alone. Do it in silence. And
if I could just interject super fast.
Ponder what you're thankful for. Write them down. Yeah, go ahead.
This is where I found out this was a Christian retreat.
Catholic imagery throughout the movie. Yeah, I didn't know if
that
was...
Which I'm fine with, and I'm still fine with them being on a retreat. But I just have to say, it's not necessarily trauma from...
Is it a Catholic
retreats.
School?
I don't... That's what I was
because
thinking.
Because I thought
like,
it was a
wearing
school
uniforms.
Retreat.
They're wearing uniforms. School retreat. They are wearing uniforms.
It's a school
it's
retreat.
Pretty typically Catholic, or at least a religious-affiliated school. But I remember going on retreats, and like you have breakfast, and then the very first thing you do is quiet time. And you go off for like an hour with your Bible and your notebook, and you just write. And you have like a little pamphlet or whatever. This is exactly what we did. This screams. This was like a youth group trip.
It was really interesting, wasn't it?
And I was like,
yeah.
And that explained, that's why they're calling him Father. They're like,
yes,
Father,
yeah,
yes.
I was
like,
right.
Maybe this
yeah,
is a cultural thing.
So I didn't write
thing.
A note
That's
about
totally
that.
Totally fine. But, why is this a translation thing? But it's literally because he is a father of the Catholic religion. Catholic religion.
So
I am not 100% sure.
By this point in the movie, all the students have been calling this one guy Father.
The whole time.
And you're like, why are they doing that? Why are they calling him Father?
Because he doesn't
and
put
then
the
you
frock
realize
and
he
collar
doesn't,
on
yeah.
until they're there. I mean, could you imagine like that guy driving the bus and like almost getting into an accident? That would have been hilarious.
There are so many things in the movie that I think if we had some cultural recognition to it, it would be helpful. So like if we had known like commonly, maybe most schools of that stature are Catholic because of like missionary work and stuff and it's been bolstered. So all that jazz, probably, I don't know. But yeah, there's sort of a point in which like, maybe 40 minutes in, I went, okay, I get what's happening.
Right?
And it's like, but it took me 40 minutes to like have all of these things happen. And then I'm realizing, got it. So I felt very stupid American, but it's okay because it was
totally
very fun because that's what I love about movies. So anyways, they're going to be going off to do these activities. So Ella is observing some photos while she's walking around, just thinking. Ella then learns from someone that the owner of the home, she had a daughter named Veronica.
Was it a daughter or a younger sister?
Okay, so I'm going to confess something.
That's totally fine.
I kept writing the name Donna, and then I confused a character's name Donna, I think, with Amara, who I think is a different character.
So I think Donna, I'd have to look it up, because I think it's, let's get it right. I want to get it right, because I think it's Amara, but I think Donna might be like an honorific, like Duke or Duchess,
someone
kind of
who
thing.
Owns the place. Okay, yes. I understand.
So then Amara is, I think, the older sister, and then I think Veronica was the younger sister, I think. I'm not
okay.
sure.
So for this particular reading of the film, moving forward, I'm just going to replace that word with Amara then, because because I'm genuinely having difficulty keeping up with the movie, at least at this part in the film. So Ella learns from someone that Amara had a sister, a younger sister named Veronica. Ella realizes that this is the person who hung themselves in her nightmare. Veronica, she also learns that Veronica was assaulted by the mansion's caretaker and then became pregnant and then killed herself. And then Amara had found her hanging. So the next scene is the nighttime excursion and another activity. The teacher leads the students to the mansion. A chaperone leads the students to the mansion's graveyard. I wrote
at
in capitals.
Night.
At night, which was great.
Which is creepy, but I would be so for it.
That'd be so dope.
Cemeteries are the coolest place ever.
This mansion also has a graveyard. So, you know, it's as all haunted mansions should. Mm-hmm. So it fits the bill again. The whole family has been buried in the mansion's graveyard. I really like the details of this. If you've seen the movie The Nun, it looks similar to the graveyard that's in the monastery or whatever, the nunnery. It's got that aesthetic going on.
Also,
so I was all about that.
A lot of above ground graves. Like there were a couple of mausoleums, not all of them. There were some that were lower, although eventually one of the characters' graves is above ground, which is very popular in New Orleans, which if you remember is where the other ones take place.
Oh yeah, because of flooding and stuff.
Because of all the flooding, they have to have them above ground because otherwise during the floods, all the bodies will be around,
just like,
which is not exactly
up.
What you want to see during a flood.
Although that could have been a cool scene.
That could have been.
Okay, so the whole family was buried in the mansion's graveyard. We then learn that a character... So then the chaperone points to the forest and says, and the forest has some history too. A man named Jamie, who used to be the caretaker of the family, was the person who had sexually assaulted Veronica and then was lynched in the forest beside the mansion. While being lynched, he was lit on fire and left to burn to death. So the reason I mentioned that detail is if you were a keen listener, you know, I mentioned that there was a molten looking ghost at the beginning of the film.
I wonder who that could be.
I just had another note here that just said, when they point to the forest, there are silhouettes of the evening and the silhouettes are of palm trees, which just as a Western American film goer, palm trees are not the language I do not denote horror to me or foreboding location.
Right. That is
because
so true.
As like a film watcher, usually palm trees are used and utilized in cutaways or setting shots to say success or satire of success.
Yeah.
All that to say is it was just an interesting, like, because film is constantly communicating and there's language to it. The language of the scene, not to the fault of the movie, but just due to my conditioning, I didn't find the fact that there's this forest to be like, it didn't come across as like a haunted forest. Like, you know, it's not evergreens and pines, which is usually what I'm used to. Anyway, so Jamie was burned alive. And then funnily enough, characters go, hey, we're having a bonfire. So we cut away to a bonfire.
I did not connect that, but I did find it really funny that the chaperone was like, can we not tell scary stories? Please,
anyways,
come
let's go
on.
To a bonfire.
Like, God,
where
right?
we tell scary stories.
I don't know. I would find this so next part kind of scary with my social anxiety and like, I don't want to interact with people.
It's definitely an interesting form of communication. You would have to do it with particular people or else there are certain things
awkward.
That are so beyond someone's comfortability that they'll just not do it. And I think this would fit the bill. So the next activity of the night is going to be, you'll get a blue strip and you'll get a yellow strip. You give the blue strip to someone you want to apologize to and you give the yellow strip to somebody you are thankful for. This is where I had a note that just says, is one of the teachers a priest? He has a collar, but we've already went over that. This is about 40 minutes into the movie. So 40 to 50 minutes.
Also a very like youth group, religious retreat thing to do.
Yes.
Like, I don't think I remember ever doing something quite like this, but like,
activities that are not fun or interesting or engaging. That is literally, rather than having a conversation with you and getting to know you and finding things that are enjoyable to you, which it is okay to do institutional engaging things.
Yeah.
But usually that just means, can we just play dodgeball?
Right. Because
that's the literal coolest game that ever exists. Hey there, listener. Want to influence the podcast? Head on over to patreon.com/cinematicdoctrine and support the show for $3 a month. In doing so, you'll be able to vote on a movie poll that picks a film we discuss each month. So jump on over there and have your voice heard. So Adrian ends up giving the yellow strip to Ella. He also very candidly shares his affection and says, and I thought this was so funny, I rewound it to show Catherine.
Oh, I thought it was sweet.
He says, I know sometime you will be my first and last girlfriend.
We wanted him to be forward, so and this is forward.
Yeah, but it's so funny.
I thought it was so sweet because he sounded so sincere. I just want to say, and we might say this later, I think these actors are phenomenal.
Oh, all the actors are good.
They were amazing. They sold it 100%.
They're all endearing. They're all fun.
I thought it was sweet.
But before Adrian can even finish, Jacob arrives right behind Ella, which is really funny. And he gets Ella's attention. Jacob has a better play, is what I wrote in my notes. He gives both strips.
Cheesy as heck.
And says, I am thankful for you coming into my life, and I am sorry I didn't get to know you sooner.
Which
I don't
surprised
think that sorry
me.
Counts as much, but
it doesn't, it doesn't count as the same. It's a 0.5 because he is apologizing again, but at
but
least he's
worry.
Apologizing for something different.
He will apologize again for
there
the
are
same
more.
Problem.
If you're keeping count, please tell us in the
I
show
think we're
notes
at 4 or 5.
Or the comments anywhere you're listening. Please just send it to us, however many you
hit
can
me
count.
Up on Threads. Oh man. But yeah, I thought that was pretty, I rewound this and when I played it for Catherine, I paused it afterward and Catherine goes, Jacob did it better. He respects her boundaries and simply says what he feels. Whereas Adrian says, you will be my first and last girlfriend,
yes.
Which is really terrifying to think about.
Yeah.
Oh, we're dating now?
But.
Now you're my last girlfriend.
Yeah, right. But I can also see where Adrian is coming from, but he's also
cute,
super respectful.
But it is so funny
that I feel like if Ella was like, that's a little too much, he'd be like, okay. And they could have a conversation about it. Jacob isn't entirely listening to Ella.
No,
because
he keeps
going. So yes,
so
Jacob
funny.
Did something that admittedly would win, but I feel like Adrian has a better shot because he's kinder and more respectful and also
it's
knows
so
her. Like, they grew up together. And so,
yes,
like, there is
together.
That. So, if you can't
Too
tell,
funny.
I am Team Adrian. 100%. I'm going to get a t-shirt. No one's going to know what it means, but I'm going to get a t-shirt.
I could get a
Adrian.
Team Jacob one, and that would still work, I guess. But,
we should definitely do
Faye pulls away. Faye pulls Ella away.
Best friend right there, 100%.
Saves her from a bad
I need
interaction.
To talk to her.
Yeah. Megan finds them and gives them a hard time. But also Megan gives Ella her blue strip to basically
sorry.
Apologize. Yeah. And we assume, of course, it's probably insincere. Adrian overhears Jake. And this is just a different scene now. Adrian is just going for a walk, but he overhears Jacob talking to some friends. So Adrian hides to listen because he overhears the friends are specifically implying that Jacob may actually be pursuing Ella only to make Megan jealous. Remember that Jacob and Megan had a thing before.
Yeah.
So Adrian now has this little piece of information. Ella and Faye run into... So Ella and Faye have a brief interaction where we kind of just learn more about Ella being just a nice person, where Faye is saying Megan was insincere about the apology, but Megan says people can change. Just endearing. I kind of like that Ella as a character is just perpetually just nice.
She's so nice.
So Ella and Faye run into Adrian while they're having this conversation, and they get accidentally locked out of the mansion. It's the middle of the night and they're trying to get back in. Also, the lights have turned out, so they're really freaking out.
Yeah, the lights turn off. They freak out, try to get in, but it's locked out. And then they turn around and scream
because
Adrian
because there's
is
a
there,
bloody
which...
figure. Well, there's a they're with Adrian. Well, yeah, they frame from Adrian, but then a bloody figure shows up and it has a pitchfork. So they're terrified and they have already heard the story about a caretaker dying. So they're freaked out. this character chases them, so they run away, and they think it's a dead groundskeeper.
They get separated, the two girls and Adrian.
They get separated. Adrian is separated from them. Turns out it was a prank for Megan. Adrian will soon catch up with them, but not before Ella ends up seeing the black hooded ghost. She asks if Faye can see her, but Faye can't. So now everyone's back together, Adrian, Ella, and Veronica. Mm-hmm. The ghost with the pitchfork shows up again, but then starts to laugh. We, of course, again, find out it's fake. And now everyone knows that it's not real. Megan walks down the steps and kind of jokes about saying, I got you, haha, bullies, whatever. Typical bully stuff.
And if you remember, one of the rules is to be respectful of noise. No laughing really loud, and no screaming.
Yes,
and they all just did that in like 5 minutes. The whole group, not just like the three main characters, too.
Yeah, and so in response to all the noise and commotion, so now Megan and the three bullies, Adrian, Ella, and Faye are here, and Jacob now comes down the steps because he was woken up. Mm-hmm. Adrian assumes Jacob is involved and blames him, saying, like, this is all your fault. Jacob's like, I literally just woke up. Adrian says, oh, yeah, well, I know you're only just trying to use Ella to get back with Megan, which doesn't have anything to do with this particular interaction.
Not with that interaction, no. But it does stump Jacob.
It does stop Jacob, but we did see in the interaction when the friends were saying this to Jacob that Jacob, as in his performance, was telling us that may have been true, but he was getting second thoughts about the whole interaction.
Does hesitate here on the stairs.
He does hesitate. So he doesn't say anything.
In my
opinion. Then Ella, it's true. And Ella is there to hear all of this and ask if it's true.
He actually says
anything. He just tells Adrian basically to man up, and in doing so, hits Adrian's shoulder. Adrian, though, turns around and immediately throws a punch. So now there's a fight that breaks out.
Hair pulling, scratching, yeah. Pushing, shoving. Normal high school stuff.
Normal church retreat stuff.
Right?
Teachers end up breaking up the fight because they are now all woken up. One of the teachers has a shirt that says,
I need coffee,
which I thought was endearing.
Yep, I need that.
Yeah, queen.
She was the best.
So all the kids are now sitting afterward. And I actually liked the dynamic of this here where all the teens were sitting down and then the chaperones were just chaperoning while the teens were then talking back and forth about how they... Like, why were they in the situation, basically? So basically being mediated in conversation. But of course, the mediation falls apart. So the teachers then punish all of them, saying they're all banned from retreat activities and have to do cleaning and stuff.
The look when Megan is like, what do we have to do? And the chaperone just crosses her arms and gives her a look. And I just thought that was great. Yeah,
it's
her reaction was like, you are getting in trouble, ma'am.
And notice that even though we've had some fake outs and maybe one spectral being that we've seen twice, still no scares. This is about 50 minutes into the movie.
Pretty chill.
I do not dislike teen dramas. So I was totally on board with this movie.
Yeah.
I'm having a good time, but it is a horror movie. It's listed as a horror movie. I know it's PG-13, so it's an accessible film, but still I would have liked if by this point there was actual stuff. Anyways, the aftermath is that they're all punished to clean outside and do other activities like that.
Basic landscaping
or
non-activities. Seems like,
yeah, basic landscaping. Jacob tries to reconcile, so he goes up to freaking Ella again and apologizes.
I'm so sorry.
I'm sorry that happened.
She doesn't respond. Like,
she kind of just doesn't say anything.
She just looks at him.
Good for her.
And, like, keeps going. I think she like turns around and like talks to Faye or something, walks away.
Adrian also comes over to talk to Ella and apologize. And then Ella really doesn't say anything. Megan then goes up to Jacob and says, I think it's cool that you were using Ella to get me jealous. Jacob then says he feels guilty, especially because Ella was nothing but very nice to him the whole time. He then tells Megan point blank he never understood what he saw in her.
And then
Megan is left dejected as he walks away. So dinner starts. Megan, refuses to do her responsibility. She's supposed to take out the trash. Ella decides she'll just do it anyway. She's going to do it on her own. And Faye questions, why are you doing her stuff? And Ella just says, I want to do it because then it'll be done. But it also seems clear that she's doing it because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Ella continues to show real integrity. Jacob is also seeing this action happen in the distance. So Jacob is just He's in awe. He likes Ella. Mm-hmm. Ella takes the trash out. She's doing it alone. Ella, while walking outside, she sees a figure in the distance who is far away. It's silhouetted with a pitchfork. And it's got a walking stick. Mm-hmm. She supposes it's the imposter again and starts blaming Megan and is talking to it. But then the thing starts moving towards her kind of imposingly, and she starts to freak out and runs away into the field. Whatever it is, it teleports behind you. It teleports beside her, touches her face, and she passes out outside.
Which I'm very curious about. They don't explain any of that. I don't know if it's like because she can see ghosts and all that kind of stuff. She just passes out because it doesn't happen to anybody else. And I know we'll get into more of some of that, but
yeah, her like shining or whatever. But yeah, we do get to see a bit of this, whatever it is. It looks like it's a mixture of practical and digital, mostly practical. And I actually would say that the lower image quality actually makes it look a little better, mm-hmm. which is usually the case with certain movies. It's a character who's like kind of melted looking, charred, mm-hmm. and then it looks like practical glowing even. Yeah. It doesn't look like they did digital, but then they do a digital overlay of some smoke, which again in the standard quality actually mm-hmm. looks pretty good.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty cool.
I'm impressed with a lot of the like practical stuff that they do, the flashback scenes, the costumes, the hair. A lot of what they did was very, very
things look good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ella is inside being consoled when she wakes up. Teachers assume Megan was at fault, and then Ella says she was not. The teacher says every student then is going to stay an additional day because they can't make sense of what's going on. So they're going to stay an additional day on this retreat. Their parents will be told they're going to be at the mansion while everybody else goes home, and they're going to set things straight. The next day, basically this is not the third act, but it's the last day, really. The next day, it's a rainy one. Ella is spending her time alone in the chapel. Adrian finds her and says he and Faye had been looking for her the whole time. Ella is crying. She says she wishes people would stop calling her weird and just be nice to her. But also, she tells Adrian that it's also true. She is weird because she can see ghosts.
Want some quick updates on the podcast? Follow the Cinematic Doctrine Instagram for cool posts and story updates. Press the link in the show notes or search Cinematic Doctrine, that's one word, in your Instagram app. Oh, and we're on Threads. Check us out there too.
This is when the movie starts to settle into what is called the special, where it's the character who is beautiful and wonderful and has a lot of really great qualities, but looks down on themselves.
Oh, you mean the Mary Sue?
It's kind of like the Mary Sue, but the special being a bit more fun. I like the phrase the special because
I like that better, and I feel like there could
Mary
be a
Sue's
little bit of a
so
different. There could be a bit of a difference between,
and I think
the
Mary
two
Sue's fine.
Well.
I think you can still say that. I think that works more for Wattpad tier stuff. The special may be a little more quality material.
Oh, the queen of Mary Sue is Bella Swan. So, and Ella is way better than Bella Swan. So, I think the special works in this case.
I think with Avatar, The Way of Water, Sigourney Weaver's character is the special, where she's like kind of a weird offbeat character, but she has the special gift. That's kind of the same thing here, where she essentially has The Shining. Ostensibly, though, I actually just like this dynamic wherein she's like, people are calling me weird, but they don't know what actually makes me weird. So it just makes her an interesting character.
Mm-hmm.
We end up learning her backstory. We learn that she's always been able to see ghosts, and that at one time she would try to talk to ghosts, and evil spirits were trying to return through her, kind of like Insidious style material.
That would be a movie that would go on my nope list.
It's a good movie.
No, thank you. Avoid.
But one spirit succeeds in taking over her while she's doing this communication thing. Her eyes turn black and she begins to cackle. Things start flying around. And at the time, a knife flies off of a table and gets stuck in her father's neck, which ends up killing him. So now we've learned her tragic backstory.
Yeah.
Since then, Ella tells Adrian that she's sworn off communing with ghosts, but she shares that it's really difficult, clearly, because ghosts seem to communicate with her. Adrian consoles Ella. Jacob overhears in the doorway. Classmates end up going home and we stay. Classmates are now leaving on a bus home. The main cast is left in the haunted mansion. Priests sit all down in the priest and everybody else sits down in the chapel and they open the floor up to discussion. Can you guess what happens next? Jacob stands up and apologizes.
Jacob?
Yeah.
Which
he apologizes
I feel like
again.
This would be the apology that I feel like would resonate the most. Because he stands up and says it in front of everybody, including an adult, to Ella, which, by the way, is probably horrifying to her. As a young woman myself, if someone did that, I'd be like, please stop talking. Please stop talking. Don't look at me. This has nothing to do with me. But coming from Jacob's perspective, I think that's really important, because all the other times are like, he's trying to get her alone, which is not wrong. But after apologizing a bazillion times throughout the whole movie, I feel like this one just falls flat.
But he just does it again. And he keeps apologizing about slightly different things that aren't quite so different enough. It's just wild. But yeah, the scene is awkwardly cut short. He essentially gets up and apologizes, and he says,
yeah, what happens
he's sorry
after
for
this?
The whole... Well, he says he's sorry for the whole charade and says how he sees her differently. And then Adrian mutters off screen that he doesn't believe it. And it very quickly cuts to the next scene. So I don't know why this was truncated, but not the bus almost crashing in one scene a bit later. But now it's nighttime. There's no power and there's mosquitoes everywhere. It's pretty miserable. Everyone sits together in the cafeteria. The bullies plan to stay up late and hunt ghosts. Jacob turns in. Ella warns the bullies not to hunt ghosts for obvious reasons. Not for them, but for us. Bullies don't find any ghosts, but they do plan to use Megan's spare phone to try and catch an EVP, an electronic voice phenomena. Essentially, you play audio and you play or record the theory, which is totally bogus. But it's just that you leave a microphone active and it can pick up the voice of ghosts that you otherwise can't hear. They're going to leave it by the confessional because they believe that it said that the spirit of the black ghost always goes to the confessional. We then see Ella is tossing and turning in bed. She has a dream of the night Jamie was burned alive, and he's screaming, have pity, I haven't done anything wrong, have pity. Mm-hmm. And he dies screaming for mercy. Ella wakes up in terror. So the storm is now getting much worse. It's the next day, but it's basically dark out. When the bus was actually leaving with all the other students, it was rainy and there was puddles, but now at this point it's borderline flooding. It is flooding, actually. Storms beginning to flood the roads. And then I wrote, flooding, you say, at a haunted mansion? Because that happened in the 2003 one. And I can't remember if there was rain much in the 2023 one. But
it probably was. I think it rains a lot in Louisiana, too.
But I had a note here, and I'm just going to read it verbatim because I just find it interesting. It's more film related, I think. Mm-hmm. It says, I wrote, there is a scene here that only sort of matters, but is inconsequential. But it's basically empty and could have been cut to save or replace a minute in another scene. I only realized how needless it was specifically due to the fact that I'm taking notes in the film. What a great way to notice what parts of a movie are important versus those that are not. In other words, saying like, if you were to watch a movie and you were just basically summarizing the whole movie and you found that you didn't need to take a note because it wasn't important, it just cut the scene.
So I'm really curious to know what scene you're talking about.
They're all sitting in the cafeteria. I literally did not write the note, so I'm now having to try to remember by memory. Megan is standing on the table, and the one character is like, you don't have to stand, we're on the second floor.
Don't have to worry about water, all that kind of stuff.
There is one line of dialogue that is important, and it is that when one character went to go find the phone,
yep,
the EVP phone, it wasn't there. But here's why you could cut the scene. You don't need to have them not know where the phone is. It would be awkward to have them wake up the next morning and not immediately listen to the EVP. But basically two scenes later, the character will go grab the phone and in secret listen to the EVP anyway. I found it an interesting reflection on like, if given the opportunity to like give advice on the cut scenes, this is how you do it. Because it's just interesting. And as somebody who edits our show, like people who listen on Patreon know, not just because the Patreon cut has an additional 30 minutes because you support on Patreon, but I sometimes cut out 20 other minutes just because like there's just dead weight in an episode. We need it to move quicker. So not us literally recording, me and editing just clean up an episode. So the same is true for movies. So anyways, the movies continue. Jesse goes searching for Jack. Okay, so Jesse goes searching for Jack.
Yes.
Jack and a girl.
Allison.
Allison were the two people that Ella found purpling at the start of the movie.
Purpling again.
It turns out Jack is cheating with Allison.
Which is really sad.
One of the other bully, then I got my notes wrong. Jack and Jesse were the ones purpling in the beginning of the movie.
Okay.
Jack now is with Allison purpling somewhere else.
Yes.
Jesse
yes.
is going to search for Jack, not knowing that Jack is with Allison. One of the, by the way, these are all in the bully squad. Jesse says they'll hurry back. Jesse ends up finding Jack and Allison and tells Jack to hurry up. The two of them have to hurry up and get back because they need help, and also to just break up or already or something. I don't remember. Been itching for Cinematic Doctrine merch? Check out the support tiers on Patreon. We're offering merch to those who support at select tiers. So head on over to patreon.com/cinematicdoctrine and share your support. There's a link in the show notes too. Also, simultaneously to that scene, the rest of the gang is cleaning the stairway landing because there's leaks and stuff. And while this is happening, they're caught off guard in the chandelier. First, all the windows open wide, so it feels like a ghostly apparition thing. And then the chandelier crashes. It starts to shake, but it starts to crash on the floor. It ends up, the priest ended up being underneath, and his legs get caught underneath. So one of his legs, it seems to be broken.
Really quick, did you notice it was a full moon?
I did not.
I don't know. I don't think it has anything to do. I think it's just visual. But if you remember, Haunted Mansion 2023 from Disney also
had to do with
the full moon.
Gosh, you caught one. I didn't get that one. This is a Haunted Mansion movie, after all.
I know.
All.
And a lot of stuff like happens on quote-unquote, people say, is it a full moon today? There's a lot of weird stuff going on and ghosty things and all that kind of stuff. For all we know, it was Friday the 13th.
So the priest is now has a makeshift splint, so he'll be able to at least move around if he needs to, but otherwise he's in a lot of pain. One of the bullies sneaks away to listen to the EVP, if there is one, and there is. And it says, I confess the truth and bury it with me. That's what the EVP reads. Mm-hmm. He panics and gets up because he's realized he's just listened to the voice of a ghost. But then he sees a glowing specter in the room. It's the same one that Ella had seen. The specter points in his direction, and he runs away scared. Thinking he's escaped, he's then choked by a dead hand that is caught from off screen.
Choked is a very, very...
What's going to happen. He's being choked first, and then the camera zooms out to show the back of a balding, dead zombie-like creature, who then punches him directly into his screaming mouth, splitting his cheeks open. I then have a note that says, 1 hour and 7 minutes in is when the movie finally kills somebody.
Yeah.
Not only that, it's one of the teens who actually looks like a teen, because these actors actually look like teens in this
film.
So it's a gross, albeit digital kill involving the face. I was not primed for this and genuinely reacted like, whoa,
yeah,
because the movie did not get me ready for this. And so I thought that was
And
a good
thing. Liked that. I thought that was great. And I don't know if you ended up getting my text message, but as this stuff goes on, if you remember the anime Another, this was giving me Another vibes.
It does
you
feel
remember.
Like Another.
Yeah. That was
being
like
a teen
very
drama,
slow, very slow,
and then like
boom,
things happen.
Last like what was that like the last episode, and you're just like, oh,
everybody
my
starts
gosh,
dying. Yeah.
What did I? And in ridiculous ways.
But yeah. His scream was loud enough for others to hear, so the action's going to start picking up, which means my notes pretty much come to a close at this point. They inspect where it came from, and they find Steve's dead body. So the next header is the beginning of the end. So the gang tries to use the leftover cell phone to call for help, but only one of the teachers ends up going off with the phone. Ruh-roh.
The cool I need coffee one.
Yeah. So the kids notice that Steve, the one who died, had his tongue ripped out. Adrian then encourages Ella to use her third eye to see if there are any spirits or ghosts doing these things, because they're all familiar with the stories. Ella looks worried, knowing the truth that it probably is the ghost. The teacher who had taken the phone to make the call, it isn't explained why she just listens to the EVP, but she's listening to the EVP while two other students are hanging with her. It's Faye and one of the bully guys, which at this point, everyone's on neutral ground.
That's probably Jake.
Yeah, I can't remember. Most of them, I didn't get their names. So yeah, the teacher listens to the EVP. And then immediately sees the glowing molten man. Mm-hmm. The glowing molten man points somewhere off screen and she runs. Faye was with her and is confused, and then hears the EVP herself. And then she sees the molten man who is then pointing in another direction again. The other boy who was with them just doesn't really know what was going on, and he ended up running away scared. Anyway, so now the teacher and Faye, who can see the pointing man, see where the pointing man is pointing. and they look where he's pointing, sorry, and they see another ghostly figure. It's that dead zombie woman thing. It's a woman's voice cackling who then grabs Faye, the teacher, and then injures the two of them. While they're knocked out, ends up ripping out their tongues, and they end up both dying. The rest of the gang finds them and freaks out.
Which makes me so sad, and that's when I realized it was Faye, and I was very upset.
The gang resolves to all hear what was on the phone, thinking it'll give them insight into what happens, but we know better.
Yeah, right.
So now the third act officially starts, as far as I'm concerned, and so after hearing all the EVP, they learn some new info. So on the EVP, it wasn't just, I'm going to be taking the truth berry with me. The EVP is much longer. It says it's Veronica's voice, and Veronica says Jamie never assaulted her, but that they were in love. And not only were they in love, but Amara had actually wanted Veronica, who was not aware of their relationship. Amara wanted Veronica to marry a rich man so that they could keep money in the family because their parents were dead. She wanted to continue the family estate. Amara also intimately would pursue Jamie, not out of love, but just out of entertainment. Jamie would deny it, denied it enough to say, I'm actually with Veronica. And then the two of them said, we're pregnant, which left Amara very upset. And so now she starts to spread a lie that Jamie assaulted Veronica and had him lynched. And then I also said, oh, and Amara was a witch, LOL. They just tossed that in, which is pretty funny. I said, one funny detail is Veronica in the EVP says Jamie went into hiding far away. But earlier in the movie, we had learned that he lived and then was lynched in the forest nearby. So I wrote that clearly it's not far enough if you hide in their backyard.
Yeah.
But that was just a silly observation. So anyways, the whole gang has now learned that Amara has been silencing people who hear the truth in the EVP, which now means all of them are going to die.
Yeah, so one character points that out too. They're like,
yeah,
we've all listened to this.
Not a good idea.
You may not know this, but the easiest way you can show your support for Cinematic Doctrine is to rate and review the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen. So press pause and share your thoughts. We'd love to hear what you have to say. And then press play again so you can hear the rest of the show.
Everyone starts to be picked off one by one by the dead witch, Amara. Also, she eats their tongues when she rips them out. Cool.
Yeah.
Ella is hiding.
Floret, like a translucent tongue as she's chewing
it's
on
pretty
it.
Pretty cute. Yeah.
I
had a really funny note here. I had a really good laugh. So basically, Ella is hiding under a table between two characters, and then it turns out it's Jacob on one side of her and Adrian on the other. And then they both basically say, Jacob's like, I'll protect you. And then it pans over, and Adrian's like, me too.
Yeah, they're like, we'll protect you. Funny. And honestly, I thought that was sweet. But of course, that's what happens.
And it like shows Ella in the middle, just sort of like scared.
Freaking
but I almost
out.
Wanted to interpret like a frustrated, like, I can't believe these guys.
Right?
So annoying. Just leave me alone. So Ella recalls something her mother once said, that her gift of insight is actually a gift. And very explicitly, the subtitle capitalizes the word God.
Yeah.
Says that God gave it to her for a reason. So she should commune with the spirits for good. So she's going to now commune with Veronica and Jamie, who say, and in doing so, she actually learns that the ghost of Veronica and the ghost of Jamie were trying to help, but only in the ways that they could. Jamie said, I was just always trying to point and tell you where the dead woman was.
But you were so terrified of me. Like,
yeah. So yeah, they dig up Amara. So they have this plan. They're going to dig up Amara's grave because they suspect that if we dig up Amara's grave, we can. Oh, they were told by the two that if you find Amara's grave, burn the body and you'll get rid of this
or
curse
destroy
or whatever.
It, which I feel destroy like it. Covers everything. Where most of the time it's like just burn the body.
So as they run away, I missed a note. So basically, as they're digging up Amara's grave, Amara ends up manifesting and coming to life. And attacks them. They start to run away, but Jacob trips and gets injured. And both Ella and Adrian try to help him, but he says he's got to leave. So they leave.
He sacrifices himself.
Jacob ends up getting caught by Amara and dies.
Yeah.
And then Ella and Adrian are running into a field, but then a hand sprouts from the ground. It's Amara's hand, and it grabs Adrian's leg, and then he is pulled into the dirt, into the earth, which was kind of crazy.
And this is where I hated the movie, because Adrian... Sweet
both
Adrian.
Characters died.
And both
so
characters.
No matter what team
both.
You were,
you both lose matter. Out, but I was really sad about Adrian.
I actually had a good shock when Jacob died. I didn't think either of them would die, but then,
I'm
yeah,
surprised.
Jacob
yeah.
died.
Literally, this is the whole cast.
The whole movie's
doing
it.
This is everybody,
it.
Except for yeah. Ella. Everyone
yeah, I didn't
dead.
Mention this, but every teacher has died, too.
Oh, yeah, every teacher died.
I didn't include those, but like when I mentioned that everyone gets picked off one by one, I literally meant it. Everyone got picked off one by one. So everybody's died. And now Ella is left and she's running. She runs into the chapel, which is flooded. So kind of a cool aesthetic. Amara then manifests in front of her and she grabs a crucifix and stabs it into Amara's mouth. She pulls it out and Amara's tongue is stuck onto the bottom of the crucifix.
Oh, is that what that was?
That,
I
it
thought
was
like it was
clumpy
just
meat.
Like,
it was
yeah.
something. So
I just thought
it was
like
it was
the burnt
tongue.
Gold or copper from the
it
cross.
Was
but
awesome. It was so cool. And
that
so
explains
Amara,
why she was like, ew, and then drops
Amara
it.
Then catches on fire and explodes.
She's like tossing stuff. Like she's still able to toss stuff and she hits.
She hits Ella and Ella passes out. I just have a note saying the whole movie has a religious, spiritual, Catholic tone. Is the Philippines pretty Catholic? I don't know. But I was maybe that's just the strain of this film, whatever. Anyway, so Ella's hit in the head, passes out. And then I wrote the end. So Ella is with her mother. She has a bandaged head. She seems to have forgotten everything, including her family. And her mother is helping her learn and remember her siblings. It then says 3 months pass. Don't worry. This is my literal last note, guys. So 3 months have passed and Ella starts to wakes up from sleep and sees a photo of her siblings and starts to remember everything. And then the second that happens, Amara manifests and says, if you remember everything, you remember me too.
Which I thought was weird, but okay.
This stuff was silly. Amara yeah. starts to attack Ella at home. So Ella is now being attacked, being thrown around. She gets thrown off some steps, gets some glass in her leg. So she's getting really beat up. Ella crawls away. And she hides under the Mother Mary statue, and then she prays to the Mother Mary, looking directly at it. So yeah, definitely.
You get those
Catholic.
Weird, wide, creepy eyes from Mother Mary.
Yeah, God, who is everywhere at all times, forever, and we have access to in Christ
directly to Him.
One Mother who is not possible to be in all places at all times, and therefore could only answer maybe one person's prayer and not actually that. Which one will I choose? So she's praying to the Mother Mary, and then she just grabs a rosary and puts it around Amara's neck, who then catches on fire again.
Bursts into flames and then explodes.
Not as cool as the crucifix into the mouth. Anyways,
yeah, because that's very symbolic.
It's symbolic and also just super cool because it also combines some like transgression to it because it's not like
she lied about the sister and Jamie.
And
then
the
she's pulled, obviously, yeah, it's that too.
It's cool. But
pulling
yeah,
the of tongues
not
and
cool.
all that kind of stuff.
Because it's also just a weirder act to you're stabbing someone with a crucifix or putting a necklace around someone's neck. Like, it just isn't cool. Ella is now on the ground exhausted, and when her eyes wake up, we get a jump scare, and then the credits roll. So they had us in the first half, but anyways, that's let's do it, though. Let's wrap this up. This has been long. Are we doing Party Pleaser, or are we doing Party Pooper? Where are you at?
I think Party Pleaser. I really liked it. I thought it was quite good. I'm like, watching it, and I'm like, okay, I kind of want to find this on DVD and have it. Like, I probably would watch it again, especially because I'd almost want to watch it and like try to figure out when English is used and why it's used. Maybe a little bit more of the symbolism and all that kind of stuff. But I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I wasn't expecting to enjoy it. I went into it just like without really knowing anything, except you told me that it was called The Haunted Mansion and it was a Filipino movie. And so I can't half watch it. I had to really focus because it was subtitles, and I did. Only once did my cat get on top of me and I couldn't read the subtitles, so I had to shove her off. But yeah, I really liked it. I would say Party Pleaser. But I am really curious, the eyes opening at the end, does that mean she's possessed now? Or was she like faking it? Because that was like a very sudden, no like open of the eyes. And I just like, that's where I like, if someone was in the room, I would have like, if you were in the room, I would have turned to look at you and just been like, what the heck? What was that? Like, because I didn't hate that ending scene. I was a little confused by it. Like, is this a dream? Is she having a nightmare? What the heck is going on? Where is her family? But yeah, so I say party pleaser. Watch it. It's good. What about you?
Yeah, I definitely lean also party pleaser. I think the movie, so it's PG-13, which I'm all about. I like PG-13 horror movies. I think I've said that on the podcast before. Working within the constraints of accessibility through PG-13 leads to some really interesting ways to try and evoke fear and scary experiences, fun thrills. And the accessibility is fun because people love scary stuff. There's something really that I appreciate about it being PG-13 and accessible and also pretty freaky in ways. I think the fact that it takes so long for the kills to start adds to the shock of the fun and the fear.
Especially the type of kills they are. Like, they're not just like a simple like stab or whatever. Like, it's a very intimate, personal type of kill.
Yeah,
that
I
was not expecting at all.
Yes. Yeah, I totally wasn't expecting it. The fact that their suits is pretty cool too. It's not great. I don't think the movie's great because there's some stuff that's sort of odd. What is the power level of these ghosts? And because I don't know it, there is some fear that's lost. Like, if you can just throw things, like, why do you need to choke me or grab my tongue? I get that, like, that's your symbol. But then, like, throw things to catch me and then take my tongue. But I digress. It's a fun movie. I think it would be fun to actually watch with friends because of the Adrian Jacob thing. Because you'll have people like, okay, who's better? And I think, like, you could take a shot every time Jacob says sorry.
Have jars where people can have like, okay, I'm team Adrian. Like, by the end, you have to decide which team you're on.
I think this one's fun. I think it's a lot of fun. I also think aesthetically it's fun because it's also named Haunted Mansion. That gives it a bonus because it then fits this bill. So yeah, tons of fun. Want some quick updates on the podcast? Follow the Cinematic Doctrine Instagram for cool posts and story updates. Press the link in the show notes or search Cinematic Doctrine, that's one word, in your Instagram app. Oh, and we're on Threads. Check us out there too. What recommendation do you have?
So I actually have, it's a twofer. It's two in one. And I only just thought of it because I use this to take notes. So I found a really cool booktuber. If people are not familiar, a booktuber is someone who is on YouTube who talks about books. Kind of self-explanatory, but figured definitions matter. And she published first this reading journal, which admittedly I haven't done a lot of, but I need to get back into it, where like you can write down your favorite books, your favorite genres, what you want to read, what you're anticipating, and all that kind of stuff. And then every page is a title where you write it down, the author, format, how many out of 5 stars, when did you read it, who was it recommended by? And then she asks questions like your favorite quote from the book. Where did you read it? For me, it's usually in my bed. What did you learn? What's your favorite quote? Which I think I already said. Most memorable scene. And for me, I've been putting stickers in some of the empty spaces that go with the book. And then she just published a movie and TV show version of it, which is very similar. Your favorite genre, favorite movies, what do you want to watch, favorite actors. There's one like, what's your, you would like this, Melvin, I think it's like, what's your watch list movie night party kind of thing. And so there's a whole section for that. And then you can just kind of write stuff in it. And I used that tonight to take notes, which was actually kind of fun. And then I've actually marked for this one and then the Haunted Mansion 2023 that I did the podcast with you, because I just think that would be like a fun memory to go back and look on, like, oh, I talked about this movie with Melvin. And so yeah, it's I don't even think I mentioned who it is, but she's called A Clockwork Reader. So if you Google it, you can get it off of Amazon, Barnes and Noble. And they're very, I wish I could show people, because we are looking, Melvin and I are looking at each other right here, but they're very nice designs. They have like a nice little ribbon that you can close it with, and they're really fun. I need to use them more often because I bought them and one was a gift, so I have to use them, but they're really cool. It's just a nice kind of place to put all your thoughts and stuff about books and movies. So A Clockwork Reader journal, 100% recommend.
So I'm going to recommend a horror movie I just watched on Hulu a couple weeks ago. I might even do it on the show. Don't hold me to it, but I'd like to. I think it's interesting. It's called No One Will Save You. It is an alien invasion movie that is on Hulu.
There it takes no place lines, in a house, right?
Takes place in a house. There's no lines of dialogue.
What?
It is all entirely through intonation. It is very... It's a movie that gets better as you watch it. At least for me, it does. It's about... Yeah, it's an alien invasion movie. Very fun. A lot of really interesting things to pull from it. It is very rewarding when it gets to the end. It's also very aware of some of its silliness. And I think in that way, it makes it a bit more fun. It's a good movie. I like this era of like each year, like a cool alien movie comes out that feels pretty indie and but appreciates the genre a lot. I still think very fondly of The Vast of Night from 2020. I think that movie's just awesome. I think it was 2019 actually, but it screened in 2020, but it's a really good one. So both of them are, but the one I'm recommending will be No One Will Save You. So yeah, check that one out. No One Will Save You. Thanks so much for checking out this episode of Cinematic Doctrine. If you enjoyed this episode, consider leaving a review and subscribing to the podcast. And as mentioned before, Cinematic Doctrine has a Patreon. For as little as $3 a month, you're opted into a once-a-month movie poll where you decide a movie we discuss on the podcast. There are other unique benefits that come with supporting the podcast, so be sure to check that out at patreon.com/cinematicdoctrine. A special shout out to those who support at the Art House Theater tier on Patreon. Thank you so much, Mom, Dad, Melanie, Shirleyan, and Thomas. You guys are the best, and your continued monetary support is greatly appreciated. Until next time, stay cool. Want some Cinematic Doctrine swag? You're in luck. We've got 3-inch Cinematic Doctrine logo stickers exclusive for Patreon supporters. Perfect for your travel mug or laptop. Head over to patreon.com/cinematicdoctrine, link in the show notes, and choose the independent theater tier. Doing so will net you other perks too. But let's be real, the podcast stickers are the coolest perk. So get yourself some podcast stickers by supporting on Patreon.